And
I invite you to turn with me to an extraordinary and deeply moving account of a man's relationship with God, or perhaps I should say, the recollection of a man's awareness of God's gracious relationship with him. You'll find it in Job chapter 29 in the Church Bible, that's on page 530. I'd like to read the opening verses of chapter 29. Job says, "How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty was still with me, and my children were around me, when my path was drenched with cream, and the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil." These are not the words of a man wearing rose-tinted spectacles, but a man speaking out of deep distress. And I propose that we consider the words briefly and then see what they have to say to us today. So first we turn to the heartwarming and mind-blowing, challenging relationship set before us. First we have Job's awareness of God, of God's providential mercies. God watched over me, bringing to mind the experience of Hagar when she fled from Sarah, causing her to say, "You are the God who sees me." He not only saw her, he guided her and instructed her. And so here with Job, he was aware that God not only saw him, but watched over him and cared for him. "When his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness." And centuries later, the Lord Jesus Christ was to say, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Oh, for the days when I was in my prime. And the background to that word is harvest time, when everything was coming to fulfillment. When God's intimate friendship blessed my house. Can you get your mind around that? God's intimate friendship. But God is holy and high and lifted up and eternal. Who dare to speak of intimate friendship? In the book of Chronicles and in the epistle of James, Abraham is described as God's friend. In the book of Exodus, we find that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Do you know anything about this? Centuries later, the Lord Jesus was to say to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." The enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ called him a friend of sinners, a title that he bore with honor. and such benefit for us if we confess our sins and come to him. Job's awareness of God's goodness was more than personal to him. It affected his home and his family. As far as Job was concerned, God wasn't confined to one day a week or to particular buildings. When God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty was still with me and my children were around me. There are parts of the world, I understand, in the Western world, where worship finishes around 12 o'clock on Sunday. And I understand that in some areas, what happens on Sunday makes no difference to what happens on Monday. And what happens in a particular building doesn't have any effect on what happens at home. But it wasn't the case with Job. It had affected his family where he was. Oh, we know that Job was a prosperous man, having many cattle and sheep, giving cream and in abundance, and he had many olive trees that thrived on stony or rocky ground, giving rivers of oil. We know that he was widely respected. When I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square, the young men saw me and stepped aside. What a change there's been. There are still cultures, and there are still expressions of true biblical Christianity where there is respect for those who are older and for the elderly. In our culture, it's virtually gone. But it was not so for Job. The young men saw me and stepped aside. The old men rose to their feet, and the chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. The voices of the nobles were hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roofs of their mouth. Whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me. And then in verse 21, men listened to me expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. After I had spoken, they spoke no more. My words fell gently on their ears. They waited for me as for showers and drank in my words as the spring rain. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. The light of my face was precious to them. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. I dwelt as a king among his troops. I was like one who comforts mourners. He who was watched over by God, watched over those in need. Verse 12, I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist him. The man who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. Do we have that kind of ministry to one another? The man who was dying blessed me. Made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing, justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind, feet to the lame. I was father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. The kind of man he was, blessed by God, and a blessing to others. His future was bright. Verse 18, I thought, I shall die in my own house, my days as numerous as the grains of sand. My roots will reach to the water, and the dew will lie all night on my branches. Here was a man like the psalmist in Psalm 1, tapping hidden resources. My glory will remain fresh in me. The bow ever new in my hand, and the bow was a sign of strength because you needed a strong arm to be able to pull the bow and use it effectively. Now all this we know has changed. And Job is now longing for the days and months gone by. His present condition is very, very different, as chapter 30 reveals. But this morning we confine ourselves to this remarkable recollection. What is it to say to us? Three possibilities covers every single one of us. For either we are those who know what Job is talking about, and by the gracious mercy of God we're experiencing it, or we are those who have known it but are not experiencing it at the moment. Or finally, we are those who have never known it and perhaps don't understand it. And let me try and fill that out a little. I am sure in the goodness of God there are some here this morning who know something of what Job is describing, who humbly but boldly can say with Job, God watches over me. He has blessed my house. My children are around me. Know something of what the psalmist says. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Who can say not only with Job but with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. In other words, there are those here who have present confidence in and enjoyment of the ever-blessed God. And with reference to the future, I can join not only with Job, but with Timothy, with Paul, who was able to write to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me at that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. It's true of some of you here this morning, isn't it? So those who understand what Job was remembering, because your present is comfortable and your future is secure in God. Two things to note. Be thankful for the grace and mercy of God. Reflect it in daily life. For to whom much is given, from them also shall much be expected. All who know and are experiencing what Job described are very, very privileged beings. And privilege brings responsibility, Godward and manward. But the second thing for those who know these things and are enjoying them is to realize that present experience and future glory, between the two there may be unforeseen trials and difficulties. They will not affect the outcome if you are faithful unto death. But the world and the flesh and the devil will not cease trying to rob you of your joy in the Lord and the Lord of his glory as revealed in your faithfulness and in your joy. Indeed, it is not for nothing that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "If you think you're standing, be careful that you don't fall." You may not be able to see any major problems ahead, nor did Job. On the contrary, as we saw, he was confident that his close walk with God would continue interrupted. Yours may. And if it does, be thankful. Be faithful. Be careful. Be sure that you're relying upon God and not upon yourself, not upon your pastor, not upon your church, but on God. If you are experiencing what Job described, you praise him. To those who have known God's presence and peace in their lives, but who have to say honestly they're not experiencing it now, not experiencing it as once they did, there's a number of things to note. First of all, do not allow the world or the flesh to cause you to deny the reality of what you have known. When I was a very young, green, fairly ignorant pastor, I had to go and see some young men who had been worshipping in the church but had stopped. And I went to their home, and there were several of these young men, brothers and brother-in-law, and I found it desperately difficult. And it was quite clear that in the atmosphere of the discussion, it wasn't appropriate for me to pray with them. And I was about to leave the room with my tail between my legs, as it were, when one of the men said, "I'll tell you this, Mr. Swain, I can't deny what the Holy Spirit has done in my life." Didn't see them for quite some time, but on one occasion when I was away from home preaching, who should I see in the congregation but one of these men? And at the close of the service, he came up to me wreathed in smiles. The Lord had restored him. He knew again what he had known before. If you're going through a difficult time and you're not enjoying God's presence as once you did, believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. Don't believe your doubts. Don't doubt your beliefs. And remember, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." The second thing is that better men and women than you and I have lost the awareness of God's presence and protection and provision for a while. One of the reasons I read Psalm 51 was because David had lost the joy of his salvation. His salvation was secure in spite of his sin, but he had lost the joy of it. So thirdly, there is an inevitable question Why are you not as aware of God as once you were? Job's friends wrongly attributed it to some serious secret sin. But we know that in Job's case, there was another explanation revealed to us in Job chapters 1 and 2. So that we can suggest several reasons as to why we may go through a period when we are not as conscious of the presence of God as we have been. The first is not very likely for many of us, but it was the case with Job. We may pass through a period of difficulty, even darkness, because of the secret purposes of God for his glory. There was a battle in the spiritual realm. Satan was challenging God. And God was able to say of this remarkable man Job, "See my servant Job." And the devil was given permission to test him. So it was for the secret purposes of God for his glory. It may be, and I would hesitate ever to say this is so in a particular case, but it may be that you or I pass through difficult times, not directly for God's glory, not directly for our own personal sanctification, but for the encouragement and well-being of others, who will be strengthened and helped by seeing your faith and faithfulness under severe trials. But I have to say that in all honesty, the third reason is the most likely. We're likely to lose our sense of God's nearness and God's presence because of sin. Not necessarily the sin of disobedience as with Adam, not likely because of the sin of David, adultery and murder, but some sin taking advantage of your strength or your weakness and coming between you and God for a while. Pride, self, indifference, and in our consumer, materialistic society, indulgence, neglect, the possibility is endless. But the good news is that God heals the backslider. He restores men's souls. He welcomes the prodigal. And if we have lost our awareness of God's gracious favour, perhaps we need to repent and return. Some of you may know the hymn, "Return, O Wanderer, return, and seek an injured father's face. Those warm desires that in thee burn were kindled by redeeming grace. Return, O wanderer, return, and seek a father's melting heart, whose pitying eyes thy grief discern, whose hand can heal thy inward smart. Return, O wanderer, return, he heard thy deep repentant sigh, he saw thy softened spirit mourn, when no intruding ear was nigh." Some of you may recall a book, a paperback, if I remember correctly. It was written by a lady who had been brought up in a Muslim background. And the title of the book was "I Dared to Call Him Father." For a while it was very popular and many people read it. One of the outstanding things about the book was not only that this lady from this background had come to know God as her Heavenly Father, but that she was aware of His presence with her. And then she recalls a time when she suddenly was aware that He was no longer with her, in the same way that He had been. And so she disciplined herself to recall when it was that she was last aware of His presence with her. And when she came to what it was that had caused Him to hide His face, she repented and once again knew the smile of her Father upon her. So, if you have known and have lost a sense of His presence, you may know it again. Last but by no means least, those who have never known what Job describes here, never known God as a Father who watches over, never known His intimate friendship, never known His blessing on your home and on your family. Not only Job, but countless numbers of men and women and boys and girls have known Him in this way down the centuries. I want to end by just speaking, if there are any here who have never known Him in this way, never known God as your Heavenly Father who loves you to bits through faith in Jesus Christ. He so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never known Him in your own heart, and in your own home, and in your family circumstances, and in your place of work, oh, no doubt you've heard about Him, otherwise you wouldn't be here. And you know about religious practices and outward observances and forms and ceremonies. But do you think that He's just available to some in special ways, to some in special circumstances and places? You've never known Him like Job knew Him. His care, His friendship, His blessing, His provision. The good news, the gospel message, the message of the Bible, the message of biblical Christianity is that He can be known. He can be known in this way. God has made it possible for us to know Him, and to know Him personally, and to know Him intimately, to know Him in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." He's the way to God. He is the truth of God. He's the giver of life. He is the only way to God. And He said, "If anyone has seen Me, he has seen the Father." We do not see Him with the natural eyes, but it is possible for us to see Him with spiritual eyes, to see Him by faith. Thomas had seen Him with the physical eyes, but he would not believe that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. And not only did he not believe it, he didn't hesitate to say so. Sometimes people don't believe, but they keep very quiet about it. But Thomas said, "Unless I can put my finger into the nail prints and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe." The Lord Jesus came to him. He said, Thomas, reach hither your finger. Behold my side. And be not faithless, but believing. You say, well, of course, he was a disciple, and that was 2,000 years ago. Ah, but Jesus didn't stop then. Jesus went on and he said to Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen with your physical eyes, you've believed. But I say to you, blessed are those who have not seen with the physical eye and yet have believed. It is gloriously possible to know your sins to be forgiven, to have peace with God, a peace that the world cannot give or take away, a peace that passes understanding but is not beyond experience, a peace that was purchased by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. You and I may never have a reputation like Job. We may never be prosperous as Job was. We may never have the wisdom and the authority and the family that he had. And we may not have his severe testing and his terrible trial. But we can know God as he knew him. We can know not only the God of Job, but we can know the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as our Heavenly Father, as our God, as our Saviour and Lord. And we can know him not in such an hour as this only, but in our homes and in our coming out and coming in and going out, because we know him in our hearts, in the deepest place of our being, where by nature self reigns. By the grace of God, Jesus Christ can reign, and we can know God as Job knew him. May I commend to you some words from Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Shall we sing together?